Welcome to Inside Neuhoff, presented by Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning. For more information about all MBSC programs, visit info@bodybyboyle.com. Today we are joined by St. Michael's senior forward, Mary Lees. Mary is from Newport, Rhode Island, and serves as this season's captain after serving as an assistant captain last season. Mary, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So before we talk about the season, let's learn a little bit more about you. So tell me about what you were like as a kid. It seemed like you played a ton of sports growing up. Just what sports did you play and how did you get into hockey?
Yeah, definitely any sport possible. That was not really the rule of the family, but just what we always did. Mm-hmm. I'm the youngest of five, so I think I got it mostly from my parents and my siblings. We all have kind of played it all. So up until college, I played soccer, hockey, lacrosse, tennis, softball, basketball.
Oh,
wow. So I kind of, whatever time we had, I tried it all. But the main three for high school were soccer, hockey, and tennis, which I love all three.
And with your whole family playing sports growing up, just how competitive was your household?
Oh, very competitive. Yeah, they all, it's three boys and then my sister and myself at the end, so always battling to keep up with the boys, and then aunts and uncles as well. Everyone's a big hockey family. I grew up on a pond, so I think that's where it all started. My mom was probably skating on the pond with me when I was in the womb, so it was from the start. We all are always battling hard on the pond.
And then I know at least your mom and sister played sports in college. Just how big of a help were they during your recruitment process?
They were super helpful. My mom loves to joke that times have changed. She got recruited to Brown to play hockey right off of our pond. So definitely a different process for me. But no, my whole family was super supportive. Like my dad driving me everywhere to get to all the different tournaments and camps that I needed to be at. But my sister was actually the one who got me to look at St. Mike's and come and tour the school and get talking to Coach Donovan. So they were, my mom and sister were definitely a big influence on me for getting motivated for the college level as well.
For sure. And then were you looking at any other schools, or was St. Mike's kind of a no-brainer because of your sister?
So my sister actually transferred in the same time for me.
Okay.
I had a few others that I was looking at, mostly like D3s in the New England area. That was like my goal. I knew I wanted a small school. I knew I didn't want to be super far away from home just because family's a big thing for me. But yeah, basically once I started talking with Coach and came on campus, then it was kind of all the others. I was like, I know where I want to go. Mm-hmm. So I was very happy that they felt the same way about me.
And then just looking at this season, you were named this year's captain. Just what was your reaction when you found out, and what does that mean to you?
Obviously, like, very, very grateful. Last year, it was being named the assistant was a huge surprise for me.
Mm-hmm.
Just coming off of, because we had COVID freshman year, just 1 year of really being, you know, able to play, be part of the team. So that meant, honestly, the world to me. Very grateful for the opportunity. And this year, I was just super pumped to be able to step up into a bigger role and hopefully continue to just lead by example. And we have a pretty young team, so it's been a lot of fun being able to be a person for them to hopefully, I would hope, look up to and just see as, you know, a position that they would want to be one day.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned those younger girls on the team. Just how have you seen those girls develop this season, and how have you seen yourself grow as a mentor to them?
It's been great because honestly, it's a big change wherever you play coming into the college level, and the pace of the game is just, it's always, at least for me, it was a bit of a rude awakening. So it's been really special to see, the younger players really find their stride on the team, on and off the ice, and just like seeing them continue to battle each weekend and be like, hey, I can do this. I'm out here. Like I deserve to be here. And yeah, I've just enjoyed hyping them up and being like, yep, go out there and be a dog. So it's been fun.
And then I know you guys are still looking for your first win of the season, but as captain, just what role have you played in keeping a positive environment at practice, and what has been the message in the locker room?
Yeah, I mean, definitely been a tough season, but one of our main things we always tell ourselves is, like, our team, one of our team slogans is never quit, and we stand true to that. We go into every weekend, we're battling, and obviously at times you get down, you get hard, but we continue to show up every single day, ready to go, ready to get better, and push each other. So, yeah, the energy in the locker room has just been, like, it's coming. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not giving up yet. Never quit, and hopefully that comes soon.
Love it. And then I was reading your personal statement on a recruiting website before you committed, and you wrote, "Because of hockey, I have friends all around the country, and I have created friendships that will last forever." So just as you reflect on your senior year and this team's senior class, just how has that sentiment stayed true, and what are you going to remember most about your time playing here?
Oh, my gosh. I don't remember writing that, but, yeah, it's very true. The team really is, like, especially here, like, you spend almost every second of your days with them. They really have become a family, and family at home is such a big thing to me. So for here, it's the same rings true. And the bonds that you create on the ice, in the locker room, I believe that you just can't make them anywhere else. So I'm very grateful for hockey and other sports in my life that have given me that opportunity. But yeah, I say it all the time. I'm like, these are the people who I'm going to be coming back to. I'm still going to be calling when I need help. Mm-hmm. And I hope they do the same for me. But yeah, from all over, we got Canadians, people from Minnesota, like all over. And I hope, you know, they come to Little Newport, come say hi. And I hope to do the same for them, because I really love them like family.
Right, that's what it's all about. And then I quickly wanted to touch on your collegiate tennis career as well. I know your mom did the same combo with hockey and tennis, but I don't think that's a common decision. So just, you know, what went into that decision, and just how was that experience?
That was so much fun. And honestly, I take any opportunity to jump on it again. The main motivator was freshman year was COVID, and we had no hockey. The season sadly got canceled. But by the time spring came around, they were allowing, like, the spring sports to go. And the school just reached out to me. They saw that I played in high school, and I didn't hesitate. I just got a new tennis racket for Christmas, which was kind of random. And I just took it as a sign, and I was like, I'm ready. And it was so much fun. And I jumped in a little bit last year. They had, like, an exhibition match. So I told the coach, whatever, if you need, I'm ready to go. But, yeah, it's definitely not the most common of matches, because, you know, tennis and hockey are quite different. But I've been playing since I was in fifth grade, I think. My grandparents were huge tennis players and got me into it. And I used to spend my summers with my mom up at the court up the hill from my street, my house. And, yeah, I was just very happy to have the opportunity to keep it going, because it's another sport I love, and I'm very grateful that St. Mike's and my hockey coaches here allowed me to do that.
Oh, that's awesome. And then now we'll get into the more fun questions. Just for starters, what's your favorite sports-related memory or accomplishment?
This one's pretty random, I guess, but first one that's come into my mind, in high school, my senior year of hockey, it wasn't our greatest year, but it's probably the one that I look back, like, most fondly. And one of my best friends, she was our goalie for the first 3 years, and then because we were low on numbers, she stepped up and was skating out as a forward.
Oh, wow.
And we were in our annual Christmas tournament, which is just always, it was so fun for me, and I go back and watch it now. We went into a shootout in, like, the championship of it, and our coach sent her out, and she won the game going bar down. So
in the shootout.
In the shootout, our goalie playing forward our senior year. So it's not really my memory, I guess, but that's just one that I always love, because it's putting joy into the game of hockey. Go send out your backup goalie in a shootout to win it all. So.
Love it. And then why do you wear your number 18?
Oh, Well, this one was a bit of a mess up on my part. I forgot to set up my email, so I was the last freshman to get my number. So I don't have any crazy connection to 18, but I've grown to love it, and I've made it my own. So I do. Ever since being a Purple Knight, I've loved 18, but yeah.
Which number were you hoping to go for?
I was trying to get 22, which is now one of my roommates and best friends, Jace's number. So we joke about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that one was a big number in the family, but it's all right. No hard feelings.
It's okay. And then who are your favorite players to watch growing up, and do you try to model your game after any of them?
I mean, like, professional-wise, I was big, you know, it's a cliche, but I was a big Tyler Seguin fan growing up as a Bruins, when he was on the Bruins. But honestly, for me, it was more my family. I really looked up to my mom and my brothers. And my cousin Maria, she played at St. A's. So for me, it was more the local connections that I always aspired to have their, I don't know, we got some good skaters in the family, to have their poise, their nose for the net. So those were my main inspirations.
Mm-hmm. And then it seems like you guys are pretty close. So just what's your team's favorite way to bond away from the ice?
Away from the ice? I love dining hall times. I just came from lunch with all of them. We had two tables pushed together, so I love just eating a meal with the fam. But we also love a good karaoke. We'll lose our voices singing some songs together, so I love that.
What's your favorite song to sing?
Oh, gosh, I've been loving, like, anything Taylor Swift, obviously, me and Emma Kelly, another teammate, we have a few duets that we do, and Something Bad About It Happen is one of them.
That's a good one. And then lastly, as you finish up your degree from St. Mike's, I believe you're an English major. Just what can we expect from you post-grad?
I'm in the process right now of applying for our master's program of teaching here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping to get my license in special ed along with English, so I'm looking forward to that, and hopefully to stay another year here, because I'm not quite ready to let it go. But from there, I mean, I don't know, we'll see. Hopefully, you know, one day I'll be a coach somewhere.
All right, for sure. All right, and that wraps up this episode of Inside Neuha. Mary, thank you so much for joining us, and best of luck this weekend.
Thank you so much, I appreciate it.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to Inside the New England Women's Hockey Association. Inside New England Women's Hockey Association, sponsored proudly by Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning. And for all the information on all of their programs, go to bodybyboyle.com. This week, we are profiling St. Michael's, and we have a veteran coach joining us in our coaches segment. He was a graduate of Norwich in 1973, and has been around the hockey scene as a coach for decades, similar to myself. We can talk in decades, not years, and has been there at the St. Michael's program, was actually the only coach in the history of the program with 33 years as a head coach in his tenure overall, and right now is just by the numbers, the fifth longest tenured coach on the women's hockey side, and the second overall among all coaches, Division 1, Division 2, Division 3. And very pleased to have with us fellow Boston. He's a South Shore guy. I'm a North Shore guy of Boston when it comes to talking hockey. We have with us Chris Donovan. Chris, welcome, and pleased to make your acquaintance here today on the program.
Yeah, thanks, Bernie. I appreciate you taking the time to ask me some questions about our program, and anything I can help with, let me know, okay?
No problem whatsoever. And Chris, the record, of course, is, you know, one that, as I looked at, once again, getting ready, it's amazing that you've yet to hit the win column this season because of so many close games that you've had. I know that the offense has been challenged this year. You played a number of 1-0 games just prominently, but really half the schedule has been either one two-goal games, empty net games at the end, etc. Just a matter of puck luck, I think, at this point. It's amazing that you haven't hit the win column at this point just on puck luck alone.
Yeah, sometimes the puck doesn't bounce for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, you know, the players, they have worked really hard. I have a young team. I have nine freshmen. I have a transfer that just came in, and I got four sophomores. So there's really, that's what, 13 young players, and they're still, some of them are still learning the ropes, and we play really hard. Our goal is to get off the ice and never leave anything on the ice, and the work ethic is tremendous. It's just we can't put the puck in the net when it counts, you know. So that's hard for the players, it's hard for us. We get so close and then it just doesn't happen, but we got 8 games left and we're hoping to make an impact on those 8 games, and hopefully we'll come out with a few wins before the end of the season.
Absolutely. And I would venture to say that in the position you've been in, and the just the struggle overall record-wise this year, that having an experienced hand such as yourself at the helm is invaluable, because, dare I say it, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, Chris, with the tenure of your career, you've literally and figuratively seen it all in terms of the ups and downs of a hockey team.
Yeah. You know, I'd never not won a game in a season. And that's been a little hard for me, as it is for the players. But I'm a real optimist at that. So no matter what game it is, I go into thinking if we play perfect, we're in the game. And if we get a bounce or two, we're a winner. So for me, that's how we go in and try and get that across to the players, that no matter what's going on, it's one game at a time, one period at a time. So.
No, absolutely the case. And you talk about the youth of this team, the fact that very young team that you've been nurturing and bringing along. A couple of honorees this week on the Newha Weekly Honor Roll. You can give us some insight about sophomore Emerson McGillis out of Ottawa, Ontario, and freshman Maddie Quinn out of Chicago. They were both named to the New England Women's Hockey Alliance Weekly Honor Roll for this week that ended on over the weekend on January 21st.
So let me start with Maddie. Maddie is a first-year kid from Chicago area, and I knew she could play. I didn't know how good she could play, but she can really play. And she's both offense and defense. She plays defense, but she's one of those offensive defensemen who isn't afraid to carry the puck up the ice, so that's good for us, you know, and she's got a good shot from the point. She's well aware of how to play her position. Emmy McGillis, who's in her second year, she probably picked up a few pointers from her father, Dan, who played in the NHL for
absolutely.
A few years.
Northeastern.
Not a few years, 10 years he played in the NHL. And he was a defenseman at Northeastern.
That's right.
I forget the coach, but
I think he played for. Did he play going back? I'm trying to remember for Fernie Flamin and then Don McKinney.
Oh no, he played for
Bruce Crowder.
No, first Olympic coach of the women.
Played for when Ben. That's right, when Ben Smith. That's right, Dan McGillis would have been Ben Smith.
That's right. I don't know why. I couldn't remember that.
That's right.
So Emmy, strong, big, likes to get physical along the boards. Sometimes to the point where she's so strong and physical that if she knocks a player down, she'll get a penalty, even though it might not be a penalty, you know. But she's got a shot from the point, and she's always getting better. She takes care of herself, and it's all the improvement from last year. Last year, she could move across the blue line, but this year she moves a lot faster across the blue line, which is great. So.
Couple of players that we mentioned were honored. Also, your top on the score sheet for you so far for the season, Chris. Michaela Langbacker, leading the team in goals currently, and also Mary Lees. Just to give us some insight about both of them. Mary is our player profile this week with my co-host, Gracie Davenport.
So Michaela, she played for the Washington Pride growing up in Kushtadu, and she came in and her body language is deceiving on the ice because she can really handle a puck, and that helps her considerable. And she's got that shot that goes to the upper corner when she scores, really pretty good. And she's also one of my captains, mm-hmm. and she does a great job at that. Mary is also a captain of mine, and Mary's got a rocket of a shot. And she likes to say, well, if I can hit the net, it'll go in.
Yep.
But she does. She hits the net, you know, just not enough.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But she's fast. She's physical. And they play together on a line, which is really good. They can read each other, and they're my most experienced, couple of my most experienced players. But I can't go without mentioning my goalie, Annika Lavender, Bernie.
Yes.
Annika Lavender is the reason that we've been in so many games. She's from Minnesota, tremendous goalie. And when she's on, she can stop anything. So really, really, you know the gag rule, Bernie?
What's the what rule?
The gag rule, G-A-G-G.
What's that?
Get a good goalie.
Yes, get a good goalie. That's a good start. That is a start for every coach, indeed.
You know, especially playing at the Division I level. It's important at the Division III level, but if you're playing at the Division I level, and the way the game's changed over the last 3 or 4 years, you really need a good goalie to keep you in a game. Really need a good goalie to keep you in a game. And she's done tremendous. I think at one time she had played 18 games straight.
Wow.
So that stint we had where we played 6 games in 8 days, she played every single one.
Wow. And she's got an almost 91% save percentage, which is just outstanding.
Yeah. We're trying to get that up to about 92 or 93, but she's outstanding. Just outstanding. She's gotten Honor Roll Goalie of the Week numerous times this year, which is great.
Mm-hmm. She's her numbers and coming in, because I know that there was a vacancy there. I believe you had a transfer that presented the opportunity for her to step up and step up the way that she has.
Yeah. It's good. Mm-hmm. Good. You know, we're young. We still got ways to go. You know, details matter playing a game. So it's those little mistakes that we're making, and we're correcting them. We're just not correcting them fast enough.
Mm-hmm. You're looking overall big picture, Chris, with somebody that's been around, the experience that you've had, perspective on the league, on the new hire. As you see it, the great opportunity, it seems like, for the women's game, to grow the women's game into we're not talking about adding teams, but just this opportunity to add a whole new league seems to be just a terrific occurrence.
Women's hockey is changing. Anybody that's been around the game, no, I think in the next 4 or 5 years, you'll really see a change. And if you look at the scores this year, mm-hmm. you know, more than any other years, some of them are a huge discrepancy, you know, 9-1, 5-6, 7-1, 7-2. So the gap is getting narrower between the players, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And the Nuha, I played 4 teams that are bona fide D1 teams. They've been in the business, 10, 15, 20 years. And I did that just so my players could see the speed in which they play,
mm-hmm.
and how they handle a puck. And it was really good for them, because they come back and they talked about, geez, we got to get faster at this, faster at that, you know. And the new lot plays at a fast pace, but and some of the teams are a little ahead of other teams in terms of that fast pace, but I think it'll catch up within the next year or two. So,
yeah, absolutely. And having the league formed and having the motivation of that automatic NCAA tournament bid, I mean, these are huge factors as you go forward.
Yeah. The number of inquiries to our program I've gotten in the last year have triple or quadruple by players, you know.
That's outstanding.
It's not all players that can play at this level. I mean, everybody would like to play at the Division I level, but it's hard to do, and you really have to be dedicated, and not everybody's going to be able to do it. So.
No doubt. It bodes well, you know, looking at the numbers for your team this year. One thing that I always take a look at is the man up to man down situations. And I think as far as your coaching and your discipline, it's almost a wash on power plays in terms of you've had 75, you've had only 80 the other side. And I think that that speaks well to you, your coaching philosophy, and the discipline of your team, Chris.
Yeah. We average maybe this year 2 or 3 penalties a game. Mm-hmm. And I like a team that's aggressive and physical. We try and play that way, and we want to play that way. And when we play that way for 60 minutes, we're in every game. But, you know, as you can see, some of the games we weren't quite on. But, in terms of penalty killing, we do a good job. We're only, I think, at 76%.
Yep.
Which is only about 4 points off of the 80% that you should have, or better. But we're close, you know. And power play, it's getting better as the year goes along. We've mixed it up a lot because you know, we just didn't think it was gelling that well. And that may be one of the reasons why we're not doing so well, is we mix it up so much. But it's getting there. I'm optimistic. We got 8 players coming in next year, maybe 9, and they're all pretty talented. So that'll give us a roster size of about 27, which is this year we only have a roster size of about 20. So.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Be a lot.
The last 8 games I've been playing, the last 6 games I've played with 4 defensemen because I got 1 injured. So usually all year long we've been playing with 5, but we had 1 injured, so we played the last 6 or 7 games with 4, which kudos to them. They played 30 minutes each.
Wow. Wow.
That's a lot.
Nobody getting cheated on the ice time there, that's for sure. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No one comes off and says, hey, coach, I want more ice stuff.
That's right. Nobody's knocking on the door, that's for sure. You know,
and I
noted, Chris, from your bio, your coaching philosophy, and it's a good one. You talk about what served you well is making sure that instilled in the team is it is a team, the team before any player's interest, I know, is prominent for you, and promoting the people talk about culture. You talk about the community, the team, never quit attitude, which you display, and that being the mantra that develops the team's overall culture. And that bodes well, and with the fact that you got some reinforcements coming next year and a deeper roster, and I can see some good things ahead. You certainly made a believer out of me.
You know, it is a team sport, and sometimes it's hard to put 20, 27 people in a room and get them to think all on the same page because of the personalities, but you have to do it if you want to be successful. You can't not do it. So.
No doubt. And lessons learned for you all the way back to, as you mentioned, growing up at Ridge Arena in Braintree and playing for the great Archbishop Williams teams in the late 60s, and then to Norwich, where you were an assistant captain. So you've been a mass transplant to the state of Vermont now for a good part of your life.
Yeah. Actually, I was a captain at Norwich. I was an assistant.
Okay,
captain.
It was a captain.
I was the
only
captain at that time. But,
1973, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I've been in Vermont 38 years.
Wow.
Ironically, I got into this, back into this kind of, I don't know, if I fate almost, I had gotten out of Norwich and went down to try out for the Cape Cod Cubs, and that coach gave us 2 hours. There were five Americans, and back then, not a lot of Americans played in the NHL or the AHL.
No, you know? Absolutely. Yeah.
He gave us two hours, and after 2 hours, he said, don't come back after lunch. So none of us came back after lunch. It was pretty funny. But then I took 6 years off to raise my second child. And while I was doing it, my wife came home at night once and said, you got to go volunteer, do something.
Mm. Get back into hockey.
That's
yep.
how I got back into hockey. I went and I wow. volunteered. And then I coached a youth team from age 13 to 18, and five of those girls went on to play college hockey. And then St. Mike's called me when it was time to start a varsity program, asked me if I wanted to do it, and I've been here ever since.
Wow.
That's how it happened.
Wow.
Yeah. And I really enjoy putting my skates on every day.
Absolutely.
And I really enjoy working with the 18 to 22-year-olds. Mm-hmm. It's a challenge, but it's a lot of fun.
So. Oh, indeed. And hopefully the fun will include breaking through. And Chris, this weekend, we want to wish you the best of luck this weekend. It'll be Assumption visiting to the to your home arena there in South Burlington for two this weekend, Friday, Saturday. Friday, you got a Saturday matinee. And all the best. And down the stretch, as you mentioned, 8 games to go, and hopefully some good things to come for you in the Purple Knights program.
Yeah. Thank you, Bernie. I appreciate it. Appreciate you taking the time to ask me some questions.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Talking to a kindred spirit, great hockey guy, Chris. And we appreciate you coming on. Chris Donovan, he is our coach's profile from St. Michael's here this week on Inside Neuha Hockey. Inside Neuha Hockey, presented by Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning. For information on all their programs, you go to bodybyboyle.com.